Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good afternoon, for those of you who are in the East Coast of the United States. I am your messenger for the day, is like normally on the Sabbath, and I want to welcome you to the Sabbath Gathering Online Ministry. I'm Apostle W.J. Armstrong, and I apologize for my lateness. I guess I sort of got caught up. I went to a Sabbath service, and I was just a little late getting in, and whenever I got in, I had made a couple phone calls. I don't know what I was thinking about in terms of the time, so again, I apologize. And today, I want us to talk about the current events. I want us to talk about those situations that's happening now and how we respond to them scripturally. We have people all upset over the fact that the Supreme Court ruled against the affirmative action and some other programs that had been out there for years. And some people are all upset and going through changes over that. And I rejoice in the fact that what I saw, that the Supreme Court had ruled against affirmative action. And I won't say that affirmative action, I didn't benefit from it. I haven't benefited from it because I have. My offsprings have benefited from it. And my other family members have benefited from it. But you know what? Affirmative action, we benefit. You call it that if you want to. I look at it as that they didn't do any more than what they should have done for us in the first place. We have made a significant contribution to the development of this country. And we have been denied of our birthright, if you want to call it that, the ones of us who were born in this country. And if we look at it in terms of our ancestors, the role that our ancestors played in this country, developing this country, the cotton gin and these other patents that the slave masters got and other people got off the back of people of color. But yet they want to say that we are not worthy and we are not human beings. We're still 3/5 of a human being. And, you know, my whole thing is that now the Creator is taking charge. And after we pray, I will come back and give you my scriptures. One of my scriptures, you can look at it, is Isaiah 3:18-19 and Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 to 19, 20 or so. And we will get into them whenever after pray. Let us pray. Almighty Creator, we come to you giving you thanks and praise. We thank you for the peace that we find in your word. We thank you when we apply that word to our present situation. We are able to see beyond what people are experiencing in the five senses. We are able to be at a level of peace that transcends all understanding of the world has out there. And I just thank you. And I ask you to let your Holy Spirit speak through me and let your Holy Spirit touch the people, the listeners, and that they may be able to find a peace in your word, that they may be able to find a quiet place in the midst of the turmoil and the chaos that is going on now, and how people are giving us that expression of, I got you, I got you now. They don't understand, Almighty Creator, that you are in the midst of even that. And that, just like in the book of Esther, and that how you intervene and you use Esther to save your people from Haman. And in the end, what happened, Lord? Haman was hung by his own gallows. And I just thank you and praise you. In the name of the Messiah, amen. The scripture that came to me whenever I was listening to the news and the commentaries and how they were talking about what all this mean, asking the question, what does this mean now for America? What does this mean in terms of education? What and how is this going to impact people? And also what this means for work and all of that. And I sort of smiled. And when the scripture came. And Isaiah 43, we start with 18, and we're going to go down to 21. And we're going to see how I found peace in the Word. And it reads thus. This is the NIV version. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Now, what does that say, and how does that apply to this situation? This situation applies for me. It says, well, man, don't worry about it. What they've done, they did it. What can be done about it? Then what does verse 19 say? Now, this is God talking. God said to me, he said, see, I'm doing a new thing. So now here's God is saying, don't worry about the past. Don't worry about what they've done, because I'm in this, and I'm going to do a new thing. He said, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Okay, now you say, now this was written for them. Yes, this was written for those who were wandering out there in the desert. This was written back then. And God was telling the people, don't be worried about what happened back there in Egypt. Don't be worried about what happened over there. Don't be worried about what's happening there. He said, I'm doing a new thing. He said, I'm going to do a new thing for you. I'm going to take care of you. You need to be looking at what I'm doing, not what happened back there. Oh, I'm not looking at what the Supreme Court did. I'm looking at what God is getting ready to do now. Why do I say it like that? Because for me, it was God that created those private HBCUs, which are the historical black colleges. Why? Because they would not allow us to go to white universities and white colleges. Now, you say, oh, okay, how does that connect? How does that apply now? They would just said, okay, we don't need diversity anymore. We don't need black students coming in here anymore. So now they say they don't need us in there anymore. Now, God, you made a covenant with our ancestors. That's where the next scripture comes in. So let me finish reading this, and then we can go down to the next scripture, and then you can see how I made the connection, how the Holy Spirit made a connection to all this for me and gave me a peace that passes all understanding. He says, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now, this is what's key. Now, here we are grumbling and complaining. Sound like somebody else we know who he freed them from slavery and they got out there in the wilderness. They start grumbling and complaining. But this is what he says. And we're supposed to be better and higher level than the animals. But what did he say in verse 20? The wild animals honor me, goes in the owls, because I provided water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. If the animals understood that that was God that provided the water for them, why are we humans? Why can't we? And it says, it goes on, says, in the stream in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. He was clear. He was telling them what he did for them and how unappreciated they were. Now, if we go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I'm going to start at verse 17. It says, this is God speaking. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. And whenever I read that, the Supreme Court and the Office of the Presidency got the first case and they came up with the law so that I could go over there to that school. Now, what does he say in verse 13? But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant. Ah, so it was God that gave us the HBCUs that affirmed so we could get an education. Why? And he goes on. For it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth to get an education and so confirm his covenant. We say that people died. We say that people prayed. We say that people believed in God was going to provide an education for their offspring. And it goes on. Which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. He hasn't changed. He hasn't given up. He's in the process as it is today. Which means is he still is committed to providing an education opportunity for the ancestors' offspring. And then it goes on, 19 says, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, what do we do? Book of Revelation, the seven churches, one of them, they said, okay, you forgot your first love. What do we do? We forgot who provided the opportunity for us to get an education. And we turned from them and turned to the government, turned to the Supreme Court, turned to the Office of the President. Both of them had let us down. And he said, now, if we worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Think about it. The people are crying and complaining and fussing that, oh, they did us wrong. Did they do us wrong? That was their school. These people who so-called created their school was created for them, not for us. It was created for their offspring. I see we have one listener, and I'm over the mic, so in a few minutes, I will have to give the opportunity to comment. Of us whimping and whining and complaining, why can't we see the hand of God in this? Why aren't we out there telling people what benefits that they can get from coming to a historical black school? I graduated from a historical black college. I graduated from Livingstone College, which was a church school, AME Zion, private school, AME Zion Church. Now, I say that it was the creator that created that school. Not. And that school was created because of the ancestors who they wanted to have a place for their children to go and get an education. Now, if we look at just in the state of North Carolina, you got WCM resign. You got the United Methodist, which is, well, then was Methodist Episcopal. They had Bennett College, which is in Greensboro. Then you go to Raleigh, you have the Episcopalian School, St. Olaf, and you have the Baptist School, Shaw University, Shaw College. And then Charlotte, you had Johnson C. Smith, which was a Baptist church school. And you had Barbara Scotia there in Concord. Now, Barbara Scotia was created so that women, minority women, would have an opportunity to get an education, and it was created as a seminary first. And that was Scotia. It was Scotia then. Then there was a black college in Anderson, Alabama, Presbyterian School, that closed, and they merged to, with Scotia, and that's how I got to be Barbara Scotia. Now, those historical black colleges today, they're suffering from enrollment down. Why can't they get out there and recruit and tell their story? They must begin to tell their story, as opposed to sitting there murmuring and complaining that they did us wrong. I think that was a blues song, somebody did somebody wrong song. You know, we have to stop acting like God has no power and has no authority. Our God has turned his back on us. I want people to think about all of this before they go out there crying and complaining. I'm at a peace. I know the benefits of a historical black college. Somehow we got to tell our story and tell our story in a way that people can connect to it. And if we tell our story real good, we will have more people than we know what to do with. That's, they'd be breaking down the doors to get into a historical black college. A lot of those colleges that the African-American students or students of color going to, they don't graduate. They wind up not getting a degree from those colleges. So why do you keep punishing yourself by going someplace where people don't even want you in the first place? That's why they came up with a lawsuit against affirmative action. Why not go over there to the school around the corner? Like I said, I counted them right here in the state of North Carolina. I didn't include the black state schools, which would be North Carolina Central, A&T, Winston-Salem State Teachers, Fayetteville State. That's four more, which was created for people of color, because people didn't want them over there in their colleges. And now that diversity. So the Supreme Court said, no, diversity is not needed anymore. We're moving to a colorblind society. Well, I'm in agreement that's what we should be moving to. And I'm saying that we could accomplish that objective because we have one God, one faith. We say we're one people. But then, when I look around and I look into what I see in the church, I see a white nationalist church. I see in recent years there have been two I think it's two out in the Midwest, either in Minnesota or Wisconsin, all white churches. I mean, that's what they said. In other words, anybody who don't classify themselves as white is not welcome in those facilities, in those buildings. I'm just keeping it real. Keeping it real. If we turn back to our first love, be able to see the new thing that our Creator is doing, Elohim is doing, and bringing about opportunities for education for people of color. And again, I think historical black colleges should be out telling their story, not allowing other people to tell the story through their eyes. They should have recruiters out. They should have prepared for this. It was inevitable that it's coming because of the individual that's on that court, the mindset. You know, the scripture says, what's in your heart? Well, what's coming out of your mouth is what's in your heart. And people say you should be able to read the tea leaves. Well, I read them, which is in the Word. The Word is my tea leaves. And I was able to see through the spiritual lens of the scripture what was coming down the pipe and what is coming down the pipe in terms of this court. Now, I don't want anybody to come up here and talk about I'm against one party. Both of them are the same. Because if it wasn't so, safeguards would have been put in place by the party that's not in power. That you saw the handwriting on the wall. But the good news is you find in Isaiah 43:18-19, Creator says, don't dwell on former things. He gonna do an old thing a new way. And he raised a question to us. He asked us, do you not perceive it? Do you not see what the potentials? Do you not see that I open the door? I know I did a sermon in the 90s, probably around 96, 95, 96, clear that God's ultimate will shall prevail. That in the midst of trials and tribulation, in the midst of that might have been during the time of the oil embargo, when the gas prices shot up, whenever the everything else went up, inflation. And all I was trying to do, the Holy Spirit was doing through me, was comforting the people, his people, the people that received that word that was less stressful than the people who didn't receive it. And the same thing today. The people who will receive the word, they will put their application in to a historical black college, whether it be state-run or whether it be private. And they will receive the level of education, the quality of education, that will, for them, be able to open doors. Now, the downside to that is, do anybody want to come up with one? I know that somebody has already picked up on it and said, well, the name. If you have Harvard on there, doors are open because of the Harvard, people graduate from Harvard, going to take care of people who graduate from Harvard. Well, I say that you, if you want to look at it that way, you got people who didn't graduate from Harvard. You got people in positions who graduated from a historical black college. But I'm not advocating that we build that wall. That's not the solution to the problem. That's just highlighting the problem and continuing to grow the problem. Solution to the problem is that people come into understanding of the Creator, that the Creator did not build walls. The Creator did not create people that they would be against each other. That's man-made. That's the way the world does things. He created us one people. Otherwise, there'd be more than one God. He wants us in that oneness with each, with him and each other. I think that one person might have dropped off. Not sure. I don't see that number anymore. So, I'm just saying, when we have the word gives us the peace. We find the peace in the word, that the word has power. Just like whenever I was listening to the commentators, those two scriptures came to me, and I was relaxed. I was calm. I was able to see beyond the problem and see a solution. And I trust that in this country, that others will see or seek a solution instead of dwelling in the problem. I want to thank you for listening. Our time is almost up. And this will be the time for questions, discussion. Since no one is here, there will not be a discussion time. And the program coming on, I think it's come on, is Shout. Shout. And I think that's followed this program. And it's a new format. It's not just for women. The program that's coming on, I was informed by the blogger that we need to look out and make this make this program generic. Make this program for all listeners. So when you see it and it says Sisterhood, holding on ultimately to truth, that would be changed to Shout. And Sisterhood would be dropped, and how we are holding on. Are the humankind that's holding on ultimately to truth or something along those lines. Listen in today and you will be truly blessed. And that program comes on at 7 o'clock, not 6 o'clock. So be listening. It'll be 5 o'clock, I think. The blogger, the host, is out in Denver, Colorado. And it will be there. I think they're 2 hours behind us. So 7 o'clock here, be 5 o'clock there. So again, I want to thank you for listening to the Now Sabbath Gathering Online Ministry. And you will find that starting next week, the format will be slightly changed. And we will be a bit more teaching directly from Scripture. And in the latter part, we will be applying. That will be how you apply the Scripture to our present situation or circumstances. And I trust that you will listen. And I trust that you will be blessed. And I trust that as we deal with Scripture, we will put it in a historical context so that you'll get an understanding of what was going on from a political, social, and economic perspective that caused that Scripture, the words to be spoken that we humans call Scriptures. And I thank you again for listening. And shalom, shalom.